From the Frank Stanton Studios in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland, and this is Marketplace Money from APM. Today, a special report from our Wealth and Poverty Desk and station KPBS in San Diego, looking at the tough choices faced by families living in poverty. For poor people in this country, every single penny counts, and good choices about how to spend those pennies can lead to a path out of poverty. Bad choices can send them spiraling downward. Today, we'll talk with a woman who's worked and saved enough to buy her own house, a family that's counting change picked up on the sidewalk, and a young man who will be the first in his family to go to college. We met them all in San Diego, where the poverty level of 15% mirrors the national average. You may imagine a city of boardwalks and beaches and historic hotels, which it is. But San Diego also has the City Heights neighborhood, a gritty, sun-baked district miles from the beach where the Tinson Ricardos live. Being poor is messy. When we showed up at Halima Tinson's house for our scheduled interview, she was nowhere in sight. We caught up with her a couple of hours later in front of a neighborhood preschool.
Halima, hi, I'm Tess.
Hi, Tess. How are you?
She was in crisis mode, trying to get on top of a situation that could make or break her family finances.
So we were going to meet at your house earlier today. Tell us why we're here.
I'm here because I had to sign my twins up for childcare for the Head Start.
And what kind of process was that like for you?
Crazy. Just running from Head Start to Head Start. It's a fair that you have to go to. So every time I went to the fair, I got there late. So this was the third time I came over here. They finally took me.
Why were you late before?
Because of the bus. To get way over here, it takes time. I had to take the 7 to the 955, 955 to the 3 bus, and then that's how I got here.
So what does it mean to you to be able to get your kids into this program?
It means a lot because my husband will be able to go to work.
Tinson's husband looks after the youngest kids. The kinds of jobs he could get wouldn't pay enough to cover good child care, so it makes more financial sense to stay home. But free preschool means free time, time to get some training, a job, hopefully more money.
It's stress, but I want my husband to go to school. Because I know once he finishes, I know I won't have to worry about the job anymore.
All right, so where are you going now?
I'm going home.
Going home? All right. Well, let's go home then.
Can you guys stay here? I'm going to open the door from the back.
Okay.
Home is a big house nestled into a grassy hill on the outskirts of San Diego's City Heights neighborhood.
Oh, I feel better now.
So tell us about your home here. How long have you lived here?
I've lived here for about, I think it's been 2 years.
2 years.
It's a nice home. It's 4-bedroom, 3-bath.
What are you paying rent?
I have Section 8, so I pay like $400 or so in rent. My water bill is $397 a month. Then we have the gas and electric. It goes up to $500 sometimes.
It's manageable most months, she says. But in a poor family, one setback can sink you.
My job was paying me late on my checks.
Yeah, what happened there?
I wasn't getting them, and then I would get them, and then I wouldn't get them. You know, it'd be sometimes that we would go without water for a whole week. Maybe 2 weeks.
What did you do?
I had to go get water all the way up the hill. My husband would go get water back and forth to get water for them so they could take a bath. It was just a mess.
Tinson works part-time at a charter school. She is the lunch lady. She likes her job, but that water bill comes every month, even if her checks don't.
I only make now probably like $500 a month now.
$500 a month?
Yes.
So that's $6,000 a year.
Yep. I was making $1,200. I just got my hours cut because my boss said I don't have a car. And she said I wasn't getting to work, like getting there on time to start my job.
That's not a lot of money. How do you survive on that?
You make it stretch. You know, this economy is crazy. But you know what? I don't roll with the economy. I roll with the Lord.
But the fact is, Halima Tinson and her family have to live in this economy. And in this economy, they are poor. The official poverty line for a family of six is around $30,000 a year in income. Tinson and her husband scrape by far below that line.
Hello. It's a little warm out there,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a little warm. Yeah,
Ricky Ricardo is Halima's husband, and he's walking into the rust-colored living room with a small bag of groceries on his arm. Ricardo handles a lot of the domestic duties, like shopping for food.
It's a science because you have to figure out, we have a budget. How am I going to get six people fed off of $20? Got some chicken and a head of lettuce and some tortillas, and we make it work.
So that's $20 for dinner?
$20 a day.
And on a good day, we can stretch $30 a day if we cash in some aluminum cans.
Oh, for recycling.
Recycle. Mm-hmm. So that's where you win.
Small victories. But small defeats, too. Because for a family living in poverty, every money decision has a consequence, especially the less than sound decisions. And those bad moves, well, they can land you under the microscope.
Well, let me ask you, and I hope this isn't an insensitive question, but as you're talking about, you know, your lack of income, I can't help but look around and see...
Don't look like I can do it.
No, it's a very, you have a very nice computer monitor. You have two
that's my son's huge computer, televisions.
You have a very nice vanity behind us here.
Yeah, this one I bought. Right.
And then this one I bought.
They're cheap.
They're cheap?
They're cheap now, yeah.
They're cheap.
Meaning?
We only spent $50 for that TV. And then on this TV, we spent
$125.
Yeah. And right. we have cable.
Yeah. You have cable?
Mm-hmm.
How can you afford cable?
We have to, with kids. We don't have no entertainment. We got to.
Yes.
We have to. They're here.
Four children, to be exact. Ricky Jr. is seven, Isaiah is five, and the twins, Adora and Jonah, are three.
So you brought money in the door. That's pretty impressive.
Ricky Jr.'s got 11 cents in his hand that he found on the sidewalk. He's only seven, but he already knows every penny counts, especially when the bills come due. Right now, it's that cable bill and the internet, too.
We have to have the internet because of the children. Their school curriculum requires them to be on the internet for reading and for doing
math
and stuff like that. So I'm given plasma to accommodate that.
How often are you doing that?
Twice a week now.
Twice a week?
And they know. You can ask them.
They know what?
They know that I'm giving it. They know and Ricky gave. Ricky's is a little different. His was an allergy study. And so Ricky got $100 for that. I mean, we just have to do what we got to do.
Ricky Jr., 7 years old, participating in a medical study to help pay the internet bill. Halima Tinson and Ricky Ricardo may be poor, but they've chosen to find riches in other parts of their lives.
The Lord says to live with prosperity. He wants you to have prosperity. I don't believe that I'm poor. I don't say that. I just live like the Lord wants me to live. Live with prosperity, and that's how I'm going to live.
I would say that we're rich as far as the family is concerned, but that's what keeps us going.
Well, thank you both.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for inviting us into your home.
No problem.
No problem.
Barely scraping by is one thing. Homelessness is another. Up to 3.5 million people will experience homelessness this year in America, and ending up in a shelter may seem like a last resort. But for some, it's a new beginning.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi. Tess. Nice to meet you.
Very nice Alicia. To meet you. How are you today?
Alicia Ortiz is 44. She's got four kids. 12 years ago, she was homeless and living in a shelter. Not anymore.
Alicia, why don't you tell us about your new home here? How long have you been here?
It's been, it's going to be 3 months. I move in here on June, I think.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Ortiz has just become a homeowner for the first time in her life. A community housing program matched her down payment, but saving up still was not easy.
I work in a paint store and I make only like $12 an hour.
Given that you were making $12 an hour, how were you able to afford this?
I guess it is a miracle. It was very hard for me to save up money. I was saving $100 a month. 12 years ago, my ex-husband and I split up, and I was moved out for domestic violence, and I was moving to a shelter in Escondido. Back then, I didn't have my immigration papers. I didn't know how to drive. I didn't have a car. Of course, I didn't have a job.
How did you live without a car, without a job?
So I learned how to drive. I filed for divorce. I got my immigration papers through the program for women that have been in domestic violence. So I was able to get my permit for the first 5 years. And after 5 years, I had to show them that I was going to be able to support myself without getting assistance. So I did it. And little by little, you know, I got on my feet.
Talk us through how you did that. What's the secret?
I just cut on certain things. Like, you know, I had to learn how to cut my kids' hairs instead of paying $20 a month. We stopped going out to eat. Instead of going out to eat, I would buy groceries and cook at home. Another thing that I learned is to always look for the deals. Discount rack in the stores. And I get like shampoos, I get soap, toothpaste, bread, always on sale.
What
are some of the tough choices that you look back on that you had to make?
There was a times when my kids were very young. I was working the graveyard, which I had to be at work at 1 in the morning, and I didn't get off until 7. I went home on my lunch break, pick up my kids, take them to school, and go back to work. Those were the toughest times.
From homeless to homeowner in 12 years.
And I really like it a lot because the granite.
It's a condo in the northern part of San Diego. 2 bedrooms, 2 baths, and it's hers.
Since I was a little girl, I always wanted to have a chimney for Christmas and, you know, with a Christmas tree and, like, on TV.
Next step, saving up for a full-size fridge.
So since I don't have money right now and I haven't been able to save up enough for a bigger one, I just bought a little one for the meantime.
Ortiz took advantage of every financial literacy program offered when she lived in the shelter. It helped her change the way she thought about money. With every decision Ortiz made, she asked herself, does this get me closer to my goal? What was it like for you thinking about the future at a time when things were really tough? Was that discouraging at all to wonder when that was going to happen for you finally?
Yes. To be honest with you, there were several times that I was very discouraged and I thought I was never going to be able to make it. Because as being a single mom, you know, and making so little money, I just thought it was not a possibility for me. But when I joined the program and they told me, oh, no, you can do it. You just got to learn how to manage your money. And that's how I was able to do it.
How did you get yourself through those times when you just didn't think it was going to happen?
I just had to push through.
You make that sound easy.
No, it was not easy.
How do you communicate that to your kids?
You know, we made, what's it called, like collage?
Collage. Yeah.
We made a collage, and each of us put a section. I asked them, what are your dreams? What would you like to be? And each of us put our dreams. So it helped us to get through it. And there was times when, you know, they wanted something. I said, you know what, I'm sorry, we can't afford it right now. We have a goal.
So you have a 14-year-old son. What was his dream that he put on the collage?
He wanted to do well in school. He wanted to have a career. He wanted to become a policeman. But now he changed his dream. Now he wants to have his own business. He doesn't want to work for anybody. He wants to have his own business.
And your 21-year-old?
She wanted a home. And now I feel like, you know, this is home.
That's part of the American dream.
It is.
To go from having nothing to having a little piece of something. Alicia Ortiz still lives on the edge of poverty, but she says she doesn't feel poor at all. When it comes to economic mobility, climbing the ladder is tough for someone born at the bottom. Only 4% of poor kids will ever make it to the top 20% of earners. And even modest gains, climbing one rung into the middle class, can seem impossible to a kid born into poverty. A kid like Bertin Solis, he's 18 now, but up until this year, he was a child living deep in poverty.
I have my blankets ready. I have shirts.
Bertin lives in a government-subsidized apartment in the City Heights neighborhood of San Diego with his mom, Edith, his dad, and 3 siblings. The day of our visit, he was packing up his room after making one of the most important decisions of his life. You're on your way to school?
Yeah, I'll be attending UC Santa Barbara.
Well, congratulations. Are you looking forward to that?
Thank you. Yes, I am. Yeah.
What do you think you want to do when you grow up?
I wanted to go into law enforcement.
Yeah. Is it, have you seen like shows on TV? Or?
Yeah, like CSI.
Yeah? What's the part about it that you really like?
I myself like helping other people, so that would be a way that for sure I'll be able to help others.
Let me ask your mom, how are you feeling about your son going away to college?
Oh, pues para mí es algo.
Yeah,
muy
she
bueno.
Said that she's really proud of me and that like she's really happy that I'm going to college. That she's glad that I came to this level since I'm gonna be the first one to go to college.
First one in your family to go to college.
Yeah, first one in my family.
Bertin wants to help people, and right now he does that by helping his parents. To earn extra income, he gets up at the crack of dawn on weekends to go on the job with his dad, a landscaper. I wonder if you're worried at all about how your family is going to do without you home as you leave for college. What does that mean to them?
Well, that's actually a worry for me right now, too, because landscaping is really hard. Sometimes we get out like at 6 in the afternoon, and that's with my help, Now, I can't imagine how it would be for my father to do the whole thing on his own.
Well, let me ask your mom the same question. How concerned is she to be losing you?
It's going to affect them a lot because I'm basically the one that helps them out with almost everything here. And specifically to my dad, too, because he's kind of weak with the illnesses right now. And as far with my parents, both of them, like, I won't be able to, you know how I'm translating now. I'm going to wonder how I'm going to be able to do that. But hopefully my little sister, she'll be able to help them out with translating at least.
So going to college has its own trade-offs. Solis is getting a full ride to a state school here in California, courtesy of the Gates Foundation, all the way up through a PhD, should he choose to go that far with his studies. The lifetime earnings of a college graduate are 84% higher than a high school graduate.
That's actually one of my motivations, that by going to college, I'll be able to come back and help them. Once I'm able to help them, I can have a good financial situation where I can support for my future family too, so that they won't have to go through what we have gone through.
And they've been through a lot. Bertin was born in Los Angeles, but his parents raised him in Mexico. They moved back to San Diego when he was 7.
In Mexico, things were way tougher than they are here. We had to go days without eating. My meal would probably be like a simple bowl of beans. That's all I would have. Coming here to the United States, we still struggle financially, but it's better.
What is the struggle like now?
Well, the struggle now is putting food on the table. Still is. That's pretty much a struggle that is for my dad right now, since he's the only one working. He needs to come up with money to pay the rent, to buy food, to buy clothes for us. So that's what makes it tough.
Tougher still, Bertin's parents are in the country illegally. They wanted more for their kids, opportunity, economic mobility. And Bertin decided early on that he would not waste that opportunity. He joined an after-school program called Reality Changers, a local nonprofit that helps build first-generation college students. The group provided tutors when Bertin struggled in math. They prepped him for the SATs, and they helped him write scholarship essays when he was applying for schools. He graduated with a 4.1 GPA. So what did that mean for your social life in high school?
It was still pretty good. I was part of the French club. I was part of a wrestling team. I was the captain, actually. I was also part of cross country, track and field. So I still had a good social life there. And
how did you do all that and get a 4.1?
You never slept,
I assume.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Some days I would go without sleeping, but it paid off.
Bertin is probably not done with all-nighters for good, but life is about to change for him. No more Saturdays trimming palm trees or mowing lawns. Not that he regrets helping out.
Doing that job actually helps me realize that why I needed to go to college, because I thought about it. You could either work with your mind or with your back. That's how I saw it. Gave me an effect onto why I needed to keep working hard in school.
Many poor children don't see it that way, though, because all they see is poverty, not opportunity. That's when poor children become poor adults. I asked Solis whether it's up to kids to find their own way to a better life.
Yeah, it is up to the kids, but also the people that you're surrounded will make you who you are. So, like, if you're surrounded by kids that have different mindset than you do, then it's going to be harder for you to go through the road that you want to go through. But also, I feel that you need a lot of support from your parents too, because if you don't have no one that believes in you, then you can't really believe in yourself.
Back upstairs, Solis and his mom are sorting out plans for the day he leaves, for the day he sets off on the road to his financial future. And he asks her if she'll miss him. And to see photos of all the families featured today, go to marketplace.org.